Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Hey, look, I got sleep. You can tell.
Hey!
I don't have the cheerleader voice. Chris and Amy are out today. They took the day off and went to Raging Rivers together. So,
wow, that's nice of them. A little family outing.
Yeah, you know, they deserve it.
Chris got stuck on the whirlpool.
Yeah, did you know Rach used to work there?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my first job when I was 16.
She was the raging part.
Do you still have privileges?
I do not. They don't care at all. If you show up and you say, I used to work here, they're like, great.
Great.
To the left.
Yeah. Well, you got your credit card ready.
They declined to hire me.
Oh, yeah. That's Andrew's and I's first meeting, I think, was at...
Oh, that's perfect.
Did I see you at hiring for Raging Rivers? Because I remember, I worked there the summer before I went to college, and then I got to college, and I talked to our friend Adam, and he was like, oh, I know you from... Because he worked there for, a hot second.
Yeah, because you were like, I would have thought that I would have seen you more, and I was like, well, I didn't hire me.
Okay.
Well, me and my pal Jake...
I love it. Rach is like... Remind me, did I see you in your moment of humiliation?
No, that's...
Well, me and my pal Jake went there. We interviewed together, the stepbrothers. Riley and Will Ferrell. Maybe that was part of the problem, because we went in there together.
That could be.
Well, they were looking to hire two people, so we were like, we should just interview
this
together.
This is perfect.
What position were you applying for?
I think just, grounds.
House and grounds,
General
that's
manager.
What I did my second year.
Yeah, whatever, the... lowest position possible, but they had just hired these other two people.
Is that back when you were marching band hot?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they were just intimidated. They were like, this Adonis, simply.
Yeah. He should be a lifeguard.
Yeah, he can't be wasting his talents on the house and grounds. So, but they hired, there were two other people who had also interviewed together that came in right before.
And they got it?
And they got the job because, by nature of having their interview scheduled at 10 while ours was 10:30.
I would love to go back there just for one day because I will, dream about it. I liked that job a lot. And I'll have dreams where it's like, it's 8 o'clock in the morning before the park opens and you're cleaning pool. It was a fun time. But I would love to go back and see if it's still as, separated as far as the lifeguards are definitely the popular kids and then there's everybody else. Mm-hmm. I would love to see if that is still going on. My guess is yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go work on the farm at 59 years old, but if I could be 16 again, I'd love to go work a shift on the farm. We were hoers.
Nice.
And
you better enunciate clearly.
I bet you were.
That's as good as I can do it.
I bet you were.
And you had your own hoe that you sharpened every day that no one could touch it. And then you'd go out, and I'm talking these rows were, they seemed like a mile long, and they probably were a half mile long. And especially in the morning when it wasn't so horrible, and you would just, I was on one side, a buddy would be on the other side, you're hoeing up the weeds, and you're just talking about life and girls, and it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad at all.
Did you ever work any, machinery equipment?
Oh, yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
Really?
Dude, I was driving way before I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had I think it was after my freshman year in college, had a summer job working for the city where we lived. And I got the job maintaining the baseball facility, baseball and softball fields with another guy who was also a college baseball player. Fine. We just, first of all, the level of work they expected out of us was so low.
Mm-hmm.
We would finish at noon. We had 3 hours left in the day and nothing to do. So we just play wiffle ball in the thawed out ice arena.
Those are good times.
Good time. Yeah. We had tractor races.
This is embarrassing. These guys know this story. But when I was in college, I was super into bodybuilding. I was obsessed with it. And I went to the little HR center where they post jobs. And there was one, Rach, you and Andrew will know this place. It's like a flour mill or something up by where the casino boat is in Alton.
ConAgra.
There you go. And they needed a worker to lift 5,500-pound bags. And there was this kid who was a pencil neck. He looked like Ernie Douglas from My Three Sons. And they gave him the card, okay, you go and you interview. So I jumped in my car and I drove up the Berm Highway really fast. And I got there before this kid. And I walk in and here's this guy in this quote-unquote office. It's just a room and he's running ConAgra. And he's just this ConAgra running looking guy. And I'm like, hi, I'm here from SIU. And he's like, oh, yeah, are you Bobby? And I'm like, well, not exactly. But I got a look at Bobby. And if Bobby even weighs 100 pounds like the section he'd lift in, I'd be shocked. But I can lift him. Boom, 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 boom. Now, I didn't actually flex, but I was wearing a really tight shirt. And the guy goes, let me get this straight. So you don't have any real reason to be here. Except that you drove faster than the kid who I approved. And I'm like, that's right. And I've been expecting him to be like, well, thank you for the gift, giant Adonis muscle man. And he's like, kid, get the hell out of here. And a little advice, next time do things by the book, you're going to get your ass kicked rather than getting it. I'm just like, I got in my car and I just couldn't believe it. Like, my biceps didn't carry the day.
So he was the jerk even after all that. Like,
oh, it took me about 5 years to realize who the jerk was.
Bobby fell through a sewer grate. He's so thin. He can't lift those
bags. You look back at things like that when it's like, who's the jerk? And for years, it was Bobby and the ConAgra guy. And then one day I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's called growing up, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start to realize that we might have been the idiot sometimes.
Then you look online and you see that Bobby lost his arm getting crushed by a bag, and you're like, I knew it!
You see Bobby next and he's got a limp. Like, yep, one of those bags fell on my foot.
You're like, ha-ha! I was right all along.
I do miss working hard physically, though. And I belong to a gym I haven't seen in a year. But
if only there was some way.
Yeah, there is. If only there were heavy things I could pick up. But I miss working on the farm or jobs like that where you really worked and you came home and your neck was sunburned and you'd have some Weiler's lemonade and watch Gilligan's Island and pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could do all that now. But
you could.
Yeah, it doesn't hit the same.
Pick up Wheeler five times a day, go home like
let's go.
I don't know, just go stand outside for 5 minutes and then come in and pretend that you worked a full day.
What a day.
It's nice and hot out there.
I have one of my dumbest questions I've ever had. And these are the kind of things, I could have Googled it easily. Maybe we should have a segment called Dave Should Have Just Googled It.
Well, that's what you got us for.
But I like having dumb questions and asking so that everyone in the audience can go, God, you're an idiot. So if I'm baking a cake... One cake.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be a certain, let's say 350 for 40 minutes. If I'm baking 10 cakes in the same oven, is it still 350 for 40 minutes or do I have to make it hotter because it's cooking more cakes?
Well, here's my reference to this. When you make like a frozen dinner or something, it always says if you make two, cook them longer.
Okay.
So like frozen burritos, if it says one of them would be 90 seconds. If you're cooking two, make it 2.5 minutes.
But that's different, right?
Because no, it's a microwave ovens, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Ovens cook in a different way. Ovens are
I think you probably do
heat.
Have to.
So
go
you don't
longer.
Know off the top of your head. I don't feel quite so bad.
No, I don't know off the top of my head, but I would think that you don't. I would think that you can leave them the same because ovens don't cook the same way that microwaves cook with heat rays that have to penetrate the food.
Rachel,
and
looking at
the more
I looked it up. Now I looked it up on the subreddit cooking. So these are just other amateurs weighing in, but most people are saying like, yeah, simple answer is yes. More product in the oven means more absorbing heat from the air at once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know. I still think
cooking multiple dishes in the oven means about 15% longer in the oven, according to KitchenAid.
Now we got it. There we go.
You going to bake
KitchenAid
a cake?
KitchenAid knows.
I'm not baking
gonna
a cake.
10?
No. In fact, isn't it funny?
Making brownies?
I couldn't even tell you where that came from. I just was whatever, and I pictured a cake, and I pictured 10, and I'm like, puzzle me this, Riddler.
See an oven, and you're like, oh.
I'm like, there's something
there.
For the show.
Hey!
I would like it if there was 10 cakes in there.
And there's people listening going, you idiots.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure if my mom was listening, she'd be like,
we're not making cakes
all
day.
Did you learn nothing?
We have jobs.
Yeah, if you're judging us for this, maybe you're listening to the wrong show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have
Or you
have
haven't
to
listened
say.
Very long.
Get ready, because I'm going to say something way stupider.
Yeah, see, there's a... Remember the monoliths that were popping up back during COVID?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. How did I completely forget about this?
There's a new one that's the most impressive one yet. It's about 20, 25 feet tall, made of mirrored glass that just appeared in the Vegas desert. Yep. And
we never found out exactly what those are,
No,
right?
Not exactly. They're just people... I mean, I think we were pretty sure they were man-made and placed there by men. They're made of, like, plywood and glass.
Yeah.
But another really impressive one just popped up.
I wonder if it's just like because they seem to be picking places where you're not going to get caught on camera.
Right.
Right. Like in the middle of the desert. There's no security cameras out there.
And where it would be more impressive. Like, well, why would someone put it in the desert? No one's going to see it. But eventually someone sees it.
What? Do you think at some point, like, the people doing it would be like, it was us! It was us!
I don't know.
Like, what's the point if you don't get credit?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not sure how much credit there is for that one.
Yeah. What if it was all, like, a long, slow build to, like, a movie that's going to come out?
Well, it's kind of like the crop circle people, right? Like, do they ever come out and say, like, it was me?
Those are aliens.
Oh, yeah. Each and every one.
You mean the aliens. Report me.
Yeah, I'm guessing if the aliens were putting the monoliths out there, they wouldn't be plywood and mirrors.
What if the aliens we have are just like Ben and Wheeler aliens? And they're just
pranking us.
Let's see how they react to this.
Prank.
Oh, man, dude. What if, like, say, we never even consider the possibility that a new species that would come here or right. that's been here would just like to mess with us.
Yeah, no, we
just
don't.
Mess. Let's see if what they'll fall
it's
for.
A pretty good movie idea.
Let's go.
Yeah, they're like, hey, how are things going on Earth? It's like, who'd you send? Ben and Wheeler?
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, come on.
That'd be like a Beavis and Butthead
Tell me
movie.
They're not doing crop circles.
Yeah, they're putting these weird smells in the
monoliths?
People.
Monoliths?
Yeah, monoliths.
Do they ever just like show up and then dunk into the ocean? God. I thought we talked to these bozos.
You dig down underwards, and it's just a hand, but it's the middle finger sticking up.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That would be me and Ben.
They land on the south lawn, and they're like, we have something for you.
It's a fart in a jar.
They reach into their alien pocket and pull out a really long middle finger.
They would be my favorite people. Well, not people. Favorite extraterrestrials ever.
Let's go.
Seriously, what if they were pranksters?
I mean,
why do we always assume they're serious?
It's just as possible.
They could be just like us.
Yeah.
Just idiots.
I wouldn't say prankster is just like us. Just like you.
We require you like humans. To pull our finger.
Oh, now that's a movie we need to have
that's
made.
It's a movie. Yeah. It's a thought I've never had. You're right. We always figure they're geniuses.
Or they're mean or whatever.
There's
some
real gravitas to them. What if they're just dinks? What if they're just...
The minute one steps out with a bully haircut, I'm like, all right.
I'm picturing Dave and Wheels like pitching this movie. Like, listen, it's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind meets Jackass.
Meets Jackass, yeah.
That's exactly it.
Oh, my God.
The president's like, is he lighting his own fart? So we have kind of a weird day today. We are out at 4:10 because of the early game, because I guess the Marlins had to make room for the Panthers to play hockey. And I guess we or MLB accommodated them, so we'll be out at 4:10. The pregame at 4:15 and then the game at 5:10.
Yep.
Sound right?
Yep. Half hour earlier than yesterday.
Interesting. We were just talking about Rach would love to go back and work at Raging Rivers, although I'm sure on most mornings she didn't want to go when she was 16 years old. I want to go work at the farm, although I dreaded it like hellfire when I was 16, 17 years old. How long does it take, do you think, to watercolor your memories into something nostalgic?
At least 5 years.
Yeah.
Probably 10 or more.
I'm thinking 10 to really do it. And what I'm basing that on is like your 10-year high school reunion.
Right.
When you're 28 and you can go like, oh, man, remember when Hambone said this and blah, blah, blah. Like 10 years seems about right. And then it just gets hazier from there.
Yes. I'd agree with that.
It's crazy how much stuff I just don't remember anymore. Like...
Oh, dude, try having a 19-year-old. So I take everything Phoebe says like it's straight out of the Gettysburg Address. And then I thought to myself, okay, what do you remember from being 19? snapshots of things?
Yeah.
That's about it?
Yeah, a picture of a picture on the table.
I certainly wasn't the whole person, that's for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that time pretty well. Like, I know what my days were like. I know what classes I was taking. I know it was basically all baseball, though, which makes it easy because I had one thing that was probably half my life at the moment, right? I mean, it was 30, 35 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, every week.
See, I'm different. I think I have a pretty good memory, especially like the farther back you go, the sharper things can be for me. And I ran track in college, but to me, it's like that all happened in one day.
Yeah,
like,
makes sense.
All my memories I have, like all those races all happened in one meet.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it is more generalities, right? Like, you do tend to remember the coolest things, like the first college game, you come out and there's like 7,000 people in the stands. You're like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
That never happened. But then what you forget is the grind of 3.5 hour practices every day in 95 degree heat, being miserable down in the bullpen, mm-hmm. catching for guys that are never going to pitch in a game this year. Like there's that too, but that part tends to be foggier unless you specifically try to remember it, right? Like, so as I'm doing it now, like I'm sitting there going, okay, what was the sucky? Like, oh yeah, that.
Did you have a bunch of guys who didn't play on the team?
Who like would be on the team and didn't play? Oh yeah. I mean, you have a pretty big, so like our pitching staff, I don't remember the exact number. We probably had 16, 17 pitchers and maybe half of those guys pitched regularly.
Why were they on the team?
Well, they were freshmen, sophomores. They were developing players for future years, right?
Okay.
So they may not be in the rotation or in the bullpen picture now, but by the time they're juniors, they probably would be, you know, that kind of, because the portal wasn't like it was now, like it is now, that kind
and
of
see,
thing.
See, I had the opposite experience. I was a D1 sprinter and I should have been D3, but I was like the 100-yard guy on my college track team. So I ran every race, but I just lost every race.
Yeah, I didn't lose any, but I didn't I didn't play any either.
So when you got in, was it just magical?
No, it wasn't magical. It was more like about time. Like that was the attitude. Like that's what I felt.
Hmm.
What I felt was it's about time and now I have to go do something big so that I get to do it again.
Yeah.
And then that.
No pressure.
No, I didn't see it that way. But yeah, I mean, like you're trying to do more than you should. And well, that doesn't usually work very well. Now, I didn't get that many opportunities. I mean, let's be honest. I started one game. So, you know, and no complaints, by the way. The guys that played over me were all phenomenal players. Most of them went on and had a pro career. So no complaints. But when you're in it, you think you're that good.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
The 0-2 delivery is hammered into right field, and Carlson's able to catch it. We're going to have a play at the plate. The throw is on its way, and he is out at the plate. He threw him out. What a strike from Dylan Carlson in right field. Right on the money. He throws out the speedy Nick Gordon. It's a double play for the Cardinals here in the bottom of the 12th inning. And the Marlins are now down to their last out. What a play. What a throw by Dylan.
That's how you do that. That's a hell of a call, Rick.
Hey, thanks, Dave. I'm still tired from having made it. I'm not tired from the call. I mean, it wasn't about me doing that. It's about the game itself. It was such a roller coaster up and down. And it's amazing how many close games the Cardinals are playing. But what a nice way to close that one out yesterday here in Miami.
Rick, how does that feel? You know what it's like to strike a guy out in the bottom of the ninth by hitting, painting the edge of the plate. How does that compare to making a call like that, which is just empirically great?
Well, thank you. What I remember is about playing, and it's been a while, but I remember is after I pitched well, I wanted to go out. After I have a emotional kind of a game that I'm calling, I want to go to bed. that could be because I'm older than I am. I'm older now than when I play. But I do think that there's something, the adrenaline, it's kind of different. You obviously, anything that you do, you want to kind of put an effort into. But, you know, pitching, you know, there was something about that was, I don't know, it was just different. It created a different kind of energy and adrenaline. And, you know, almost, you know, when I was done pitching, you know, it's kind of the same thing as broadcasting. There's a mental part to that that is, you know, can be exhausting. But clearly, you know, pitching, you also get the physical on top of that. Yeah. And maybe it's just the release of the physical thing, which would, you know, create that desire to kind of just go out and have fun.
Rick, we're back to 500. Talk about the psychological meaning of that to players.
Well, I think it means, I don't think it means as much to players as it does to our fan base right now. I think we've had you know, it was kind of our discussion the other day about should you cheer Paul Skeens or not. I think the old school fans would say, of course you do. That's what Cardinal fans do. And then there's this kind of other breed of Cardinal fans that's kind of just still mad. I mean, they're just mad about last year. They're mad about, you know, they don't like the GM or the manager or the owner, whatever. I mean, they don't, they're more, it's a little more social media driven criticism of the team. And, you know, I feel like, you know, for them, it may be a way to kind of court them back into saying, look, there's, this is a roller coaster, and we started out in the pits. There's no question, but it's a nice ride right now. So you know, kind of come and join the positive side of this. So I think players have been positive, regardless. And yes, you'd rather be say you're on a winning team, but I think there's been enough momentum building since Mother's Day. They've had the best record in the National League since Mother's Day. Think about that. That's very impressive. And I would say that there's a fair number of Cardinal fans that still don't know that yet.
All right, so with the risk, Rick, of sounding like a positive Pete here, I want to point out to it's fair to be critical, but it's also fair to point out that this has all happened without Wilson Contreras,
right?
Without Goldschmidt and Arenado producing anywhere near what you would expect them, without Tommy Edman, mostly a lot of it without Lars Nootbaar as well. So does that tell us anything other than, boy, the pitching's been really good, especially in the month of June? Or is that maybe the team is capable of being what we thought if we can get it together for a change?
Well, let me start out by saying I'd rather be the positive Pete than the Debbie Downer. I mean, if you're going to call me one of the two, call me positive Pete. So, but I do think there's something to that. You actually see a vision for, okay, this is more like what it's supposed to look like. Plus, your bench is going to get stronger. And, you know, with Riley O'Brien, your bullpen's going to get better if he comes back. And let's hope that he does. I'm kind of excited about that piece maybe coming back and, you know, Steven Matz being a part piece somewhere. And, again, they're not all-stars. I'm not saying that. But they're going to create some depth, I think, which will help as the season progresses. We know how long a season it is. So, you know, when you're in a marathon and you've got somebody that's going to kind of carry you along on mile 13, 14, and 15, you know, that's critical in the baseball season. You know, some teams just kind of wear out because they don't have a plan B. And the idea of having Contreras back, Nootbaar back, Tommy Edman back at some point, I just think that fuels the team, honestly, more than kind of being a game over 500 now. I think that's positive. But I think the fact that you've got some guys coming back is even better.
For both Rick and Wheels, since Wheels is a former D1 catcher, Páez is waking up and he's showing some pop in his bat. How good is he defensively?
Well, I'm gonna hear Wheels because Wheels obviously has the experience in it, but I think that the grades that are coming out for him are very good in terms of framing, calling pitches, all that stuff. I think is good. But what I like most about him, Wheels, is and because, you know, pitcher catcher relationships are, you know, you're like husband and wife, you know, during a game. I mean, you're kind of like so connected. You better be on the same page, or your household's going to be a mess. So I think what I see him doing when a pitcher makes a pitch, and just him kind of pointing at the pitcher and shaking his fist. I mean, that's something Molina used to do all the time, and not many catchers do that anymore. But he does that. And I love it.
So I'm going to try to put this in the right – I'm trying to frame this the right way. I'm a big fan of how he does things. You can tell that in his previous years he was paying attention to Yadi. And I'm not saying that he imitates him, but as you point out, he's got some of those mannerisms. He's got some of that body language. People like to say a guy that can hit looks hitterish. He looks catcherish to me.
And, yeah, he does.
And I'm not picking on Herrera at all. I think he's done a phenomenal job. Without him – they wouldn't be in the position that they're in right now because he's a really good hitter and he works hard behind the plate. But he feels more like a hitter catching, where Páez feels like a catcher who is still trying to figure out how to contribute more on the offensive side, which is totally normal, and that's kind of made him an interesting combo. But Páez has the arm action. He's got the footwork. It's, you know, when he's – I know some of the numbers are incomplete because he's – very small sample size of playing time and games, but it looks right. I guess that's the easiest way to say it.
Yeah, and I'd say this about Herrera. I said it last night early in the game. I said there's nobody on the Cardinals right now that I want to have a better day today than Ivan Herrera, because we don't want to forget about him.
Right.
I mean, he has been important. Again, his bat's good, and you know, he can DH occasionally, and he can still catch, and you know, so when Contreras comes back, I think it's going to be very interesting in terms of how the roster construction is, because you're going to want Pajes, you're going to want Herrera, you're going to want Contreras. So, you know, how do you figure out how to handle that? And so, and long term, I think there's a big question about Herrera too, is catching his best position. I think he would probably say yes right now, yeah. but I think that's an open question.
One thing I do want to compliment him though, defensively, since we're doing that, I think Herrera does a phenomenal job on the balls in the dirt.
I think he's been
really good, and that's hard to do. It's just when you're not having success throwing runners out, it's a very hard position to play because teams will test you. And Rick, you could speak to what that does to a pitcher's mindset and what it does to strategy when a guy goes from first to second with one out.
Well, you got to be able to trust him. We were talking about this today. A couple of us were talking about the difference between getting a guy on third base or second base. When you get him on third, the pitcher then says, I better not overcook a slider in the dirt because the catcher might not catch it. Nobody ever said that when Yadi was behind the plate. And I don't feel like you're going to say that with Herrera behind the plate either. But I feel like that's definitely a thing that you've got to trust. You got to trust your catcher, and he's got to be able to – he's going to smother that every single time, and that's going to make hitting a lot more difficult for the other team. And I do think Herrera does that well, and he does work hard at it. He does not have the greatest arm in the world. He just doesn't.
Right.
But honestly, yeah, he's a great kid, too. I love being around him. He's a fun guy and a good teammate.
Rick, talk a little bit about Sonny Gray's performance last night and then the somewhat controversial, seemingly, decision to take him out when they did.
Well, so Sonny Gray is, you kind of have to know Sonny to understand the why of that answer, but I think Sonny is also very hard to know. I mean, he's out there. He's just different. I mean, he's a different thinker, but one of the things he did tell me recently is he said, look, people don't know, but when I throw my curveball, I am throwing max effort. I want to spin. I want to be nasty every time I throw one, and it takes a lot out of me. And so I think, you know, he's not 25. You know, he looks 25, but he's not. That's number one. So when you get up to 80, 90 pitches, I mean, he's about the same age as Lance Lynn or close to it. And so you're talking about a guy that, you know, is going to wear out quicker than other people because of the max effort that he puts on his breaking pitch. On that sweeper especially, he throws it like no one else in baseball throws it. Mm-hmm. And he gets more depth than anybody because he gets more spin and because he puts more effort. And that means he's going to get tired earlier. So I think that's part of the reasoning behind taking him out when they did. And, you know, again, it's not an exact science, but I think, you know, it certainly is at least reasonable.
And the other part about that, like that's, by the way, and people that don't watch a lot of baseball outside of the Cardinals may not have paid much attention to it, but that's kind of how he was handled in Minnesota, you know, especially in 2022, they limited his work quite a bit last year, a little less so, but I don't think he averaged 6 innings a start last year either. And if you look at his pitch counts, he didn't go over 90 very often, maybe 7, 8, 9 times the whole year last year.
So this is who Sonny Gray is. Now, you may want him to be something different. You may say, well, if your bullpen's tired, you should keep him in anyway. But, you know, it's also June. It's not September.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
So, I think it's not October. And I mean, you got to really be careful. And I think every team is going through this right now, guys. How careful should we be with our starters? Number one, their innings. Think about some of the young guys in the game that are, you know, phenom young pitchers. Skeens is going to go through this.
Right.
How many innings do they throw him? Now, the Cardinals don't have that question, but you know, or how many appearances for a reliever? That's going to become a factor as the season moves along.
All right, buddy. Have another great call tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Good to be with you guys.
151 DJs. Going to talk about some fun space, physics, dork stuff coming up in the next break. But just to kind of whet your appetite, there's a new move to take flat earthers into space.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, why didn't we think about that before?
Probably because it's never been doable.
Yeah, so there are a couple really well-known, you know, leaders of the flat Earth movement.
Yeah.
And they're talking about putting them in one of Bezos's or Virgin Branson's
boom
Starliners and take them up.
Let's go.
You think they accept it? That's exactly. What if they come back down? They're like, oh, I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's why.
But you got to videotape the whole thing, right? You video the entire thing.
I don't like it because it's like rewarding them for their stupid.
It's okay. It's okay. We can reward them if it means they shut up.
I don't know. I feel like it is. That stuff is a fine line to me because it's like if you get a bunch of flat earthers and you take them up to space, you are validating them a little too much for my taste.
Yeah, but right? You're also shutting them down.
Are
you? In a time when this bad information is believed. Not just that, but so many other bad things are believed that just don't make any sense.
So okay,
if you can
Kevin.
Correct the record and get the people that push it the most to be like, yep, we're wrong.
The people
it's
that
a big
push
old ball.
It, the people that push it the most are not pushing it for goofs and giggles. They're pushing it because they're making money off
I know.
So they're not going to stop pushing it just because you prove them wrong and take them to space. They're just going to find a new
way to push
it.
Right, but you're showing the people that they're trying to influence that they are wrong and they are idiots and that they are scamming them.
If they don't know yet, I don't know if taking them to space is going to convince
them. I'm on Andrew's side on this one. If you don't know that the Earth is round at this point, I don't have anything left to say to you. And then if you bring these, like, you know, these flat earth influencers up there, they're going to be filming on their cell phones and anything. It's like, oh, they closed the door, but there was a light under the door. What does that mean? And they'll be like, that means that it was all faked. It was all on a soundstage. The whole thing was a sham. Like, they'll just find some way to pick it apart.
I think they'll turn it down.
Probably.
Well, yeah. I mean, that would be the smart thing for them to do.
Yeah. But there's nothing else you can do except counter bad information with good information.
I agree with that.
And it won't change everybody's mind, but if it changes 10% or 20% of the minds of people that are being influenced by this intentionally distributed bad information, that's enough for me.
What was that documentary, Dave? It was like Beyond the Curve.
Yeah.
Was that the name of it? Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they did this experiment to prove the Earth was flat, and it proved that it was round. And they were just like, well, back to the drawing board to prove that it's flat. It's okay, well.
I mean, literally, physics don't work if the Earth isn't round.
I mean, you may have hit the nail on the head when you said they won't go up. I mean, there's someone out there calling themselves a flat earther who will go into space for free.
Yeah.
But one of the people who are making money at it,
they won't.
That's all
it's too
they
risky.
Have.
Would
too
you
risky.
Guys do one of these space flights at this point if it was, you know, if Richard Branson came to you and said, Dave Glover, I want you to take the next flight. It's totally free.
This sounds very dark, but now that Phoebe is a grown-up, I probably would. If my kids were small, I think I would feel, even though there's a 10% chance of crashing or something imploding, I'll probably make it home. I don't think I would have when the kids were small. It's not like Phoebe wouldn't be sad or miss me if I were gone.
No,
now
it's different,
Nick,
though.
But it feels, I think I would.
Yeah,
would totally do that. They don't go up on rockets, though, right? Like, don't they have planes that are dropped, like, in high atmosphere, and then they just move up?
Shatner went up in a rocket
with
Bezos.
I mean, that would make it more fun. I would love to go up in a rocket. I
wonder what kind of G's you pull. Because I've been looking into the Blue Angels thing, and they pull about 7 G's. You wonder how many G's they pull on the way up there. Got to be 10 or more.
Do you guys think Andrew and I will go to space in our lifetime?
I think you will have the real opportunity. And by real, I mean affordable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to have to be a millionaire to do it.
Dave, this is doable, man. 3 G's.
That's it?
3 G's on a rocket to space, according to PBS.
I pull that on the toilet.